Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to or welcome back to the Perfectly Imperfect podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Minnie, and thank you so much for tuning into this episode. If you are a new listener, thank you for clicking on the podcast and joining me today. I'm so happy you're here. I hope you stick around. And if you are a returning listener, thank you again. I love you. I appreciate you. Your support means the world, and I'm just so grateful, and I'm happy to be recording again. I know I've had a little bit of a hiatus away from recording. I've been really trying to stick to a weekly schedule, but I think I get really caught up in the dates and the posting, so that I tried to record this podcast like 3 times before this, and I just wasn't in the right headspace. I was really stressed and anxious about traveling, which I'll get more into in this episode as well. And I just kind of had to realize, like, okay, I'm not in the headspace to record this right now, and I would rather wait until I can give a good quality episode. Thank you for your patience. I am back on the podcast and feeling so good about it. But for a bit of context, you'll see if you're watching this video on YouTube, I am in a new space. I'm currently in London, England. I have been traveling for the last four days. I was in Copenhagen over the weekend, and I just got to London yesterday morning, and I had the day, and then now is my second full day in London. I will be traveling for the next 3 and a bit weeks, basically all the way up until the beginning of November. So kind of full circle, it'll be about a month, 4 weeks of traveling. Partly alone, I'm partly meeting up with friends, I'm partly seeing family. It's kind of a mixture of it all. But today I want to focus on the solo travel part and just like reflect and talk about solo dates and like the power of doing things alone and how that has helped me grow so much as a person, grow so much in my recovery, and just kind of heal a lot of things that I didn't really know needed to be healed as I've been growing up through my late teens, early 20s. So I want to talk about that today because I feel like it's very fitting. I'm currently fully alone in London. Sure, I have family and I know friends, but I'm staying by myself. I'm maneuvering and traveling through the city by myself. And I've just had so many moments this trip so far, even in the last 4 days, like when I was in Copenhagen over the weekend as well, I was like, wow, I really just don't doubt myself. I don't feel like I need to restrict myself of doing things or seeing things or having experiences because I've built this trust and I've built this excitement to do things alone so that those things don't feel so scary like they used to. And that has been a long journey that I know I'm still on and will continue to progress each year as I grow and I change. And I'm just really proud of where I'm at. And I feel like it's something I'm very passionate about, is that doing things alone is so, so important. And I've found it to be so, so important for myself. So if I can convince one other person to just lean into themselves, lean into the discomfort of being alone, and discover the true growth that can happen, that's all I really want to do here. I had my first taste of solo travel last summer. I mean, I had done a couple trips here and there, but they were always either with a program or with friends or kind of structured in some sort of way. But last summer, after I graduated university, that was my first trip. Like, I booked 100% myself. I just spent the whole time solo traveling, apart from when I was like meeting up with people that I knew, or I tried to save money and stay with friends in certain cities. But majority of it, I was alone, and I learned so much about myself. I made strides and big steps forward in my recovery. And I feel like over the last year or so, it's definitely not been as a progressive increase for sure. There's been ups and downs, and that's a usual part of any healing, recovery, growing up journey. But just having that first experience under my belt coming into this year of, or this experience of solo travel, I just feel that much more confident, and I trust myself that much more to really take in the opportunities around me, explore the city, do things that I want, and not be afraid to do them just because I'm alone. Growing up, I feel like probably a lot of people can relate, but I used to feel so insecure doing things alone. I grew up in a dance studio with many, many girls my age, and it was kind of just like a norm that like you do everything together. It was just kind of strange if you did something alone or didn't want to do things with friends. And I feel like personally, I've never been like that very affectionate, touchy, huggy type of friend. I don't know. Like, I wouldn't say I'm not a girl's girl because I'm like for the girls, always supporting my friends and women in the world. But I'm just not that type of friend that like wants to be with someone all the time. And I don't like tight hugs. I don't want to be touched. I don't want to be like snuggled all the time with my friends. I don't know. That's just me, but I feel like I kind of gaslighted myself into thinking that I needed to be that type of friend in order to make my friends feel loved and appreciated, because those are the type of friends around me. And when I would say like, I don't want to do that, or I'll go do this alone, or it's okay, I don't want to join, they'd be like, why? Like, why don't you want to? And so there was just always this kind of judgment from others, and therefore manifested into judgment from myself on myself of not wanting to do things with people. And so I kind of like, I feel like I've always been that sort of independent soul always, but throughout like later in middle school, definitely throughout high school and early college, I really just tried to become that type of friend that like did everything with other people. And even in my first semester of college, when I studied abroad in Rome, I did everything with friends. I had manipulated myself so strongly into making myself into this type of person that wanted to do things with other people that I kind of flipped the other way and started fearing doing things alone and like feeling like I was being judged by other people. But really, it was just the judgments I was placing on myself, the insecurities that I had in myself that were holding me back. As I went through my first semester of college, I was going out and drinking and seeing a lot of people, making a lot of new friends. Like, I feel like I barely did things alone. I did things alone here and there, and I actually did join a dance studio in Rome while I was studying abroad. And that took a lot of like courage and self-prep and hyping myself up to go, because no one joined that dance studio with me, but I knew in myself that was something. I think that was honestly like the first inkling of like, this is not who I really am. I am an independent person. I don't want to be with people all the time, and I shouldn't shame myself for that, because I had this such strong pull to do this and go to this dance studio, take classes in Italian, like barely anyone spoke English. And I just loved every second of it. And I was so proud of myself. And so I think doing that first thing really showed me like, oh, wow, like I do like doing things alone, and I can do things alone. And actually, it feels good to do things alone. So why have I been trying to force myself to be with all these people and do things with people all the time, when really I should be working to find a balance of the two? So then after my first semester, COVID hit that next March 2020, and obviously everything shut down, classes went online, I moved back home. And I know that that was not an easy time for anyone in the world, and some people thrived through that, some people kind of spiraled downwards through that. I definitely spiraled downwards. Personally, it was not a good time in my life. But one plus, I guess, is that we were forced to be alone. And I was able to really lean into that kind of small voice in myself and in my brain that I had heard in Rome about wanting to do things alone and wanting to be more independent. And I could really let that voice just kind of come into fruition and be a more leading voice without so much judgment. Unfortunately, that voice kind of spiraled into my eating disorder, unfortunately, and became something quite negative. And that voice telling me to be independent was very swayed by diet culture and kind of made my independent time to focus on my eating disorder and what it wanted me to do and those disordered actions and thought patterns. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that the journey of doing things alone, the journey of building self-confidence and trust in yourself, is not going to be linear for me. Like, it felt good in Rome. Then it really took a dip down as I started doing things alone, but realized they were very disordered and unhealthy for me. So then that in turn kind of made my relationship with myself a lot harder as well. So I kind of felt like I was back to ground zero of not being able to trust myself, not enjoying my alone time. But instead of feeling judged and insecure, I just was so anxious and scared and uncomfortable because my thoughts and my eating disorder had taken over my brain and my action and my body to the point that I didn't know who I was without it. And therefore, I didn't want to be left alone because I was so uncomfortable and scared and hated being left alone, because then that meant the only voice in my head was my eating disorder rather than the people around me. So when I got to that point, and then I decided to recover, and I knew I didn't want to live my life that way anymore. I didn't want to live a life controlled by food and controlled by this disordered voice in my head. I realized a big part of this journey was going to be healing just overall my relationship with myself and being able to do things again, like that dance class in Rome. I wanted to get back to that place where I was like excited to do something like that alone with no other people, no other external validation, just me, myself, supporting me and myself and I. So the first few steps I took regarding my recovery, I think I definitely focused more on like the food aspect and the food fears. And I have other episodes that go more in depth about like my recovery process, if you want to go back and look for those. But as much as conquering my fear foods, challenging the food rules, and all of that was equally important, and like resting, gaining weight, those were all really important parts of my recovery. But also the aspect of just being able to sit by myself for more than an hour without crying or going into a panic attack, that was a big goal of mine as well. So I realized I had to take it in phases. Like I said, I started with the food, conquering the food. And as I became more comfortable eating foods, feeling more relaxed around foods, I realized, okay, my next step here is eating these foods, but doing it alone. I could eat these foods with people. I could get a cookie. I could get dessert. I could get certain foods with my family, with my boyfriend, and I felt supported and I felt good and comfortable. But doing it alone added that extra element of fear and anxiety. And I knew when I started feeling that, I was like, okay, I got to challenge that. I got to challenge it. Like, that's just what recovery is. It's uncomfortable. It's about challenging everything that comes into your path that you feel scared to do. And if you're in recovery, at least for me, that definition for me was, okay, I'm committing to challenging myself in doing these scary things. I'm committing to reframing my mind. I'm committing to not letting this fear control my life anymore. When I noticed that fear come in about doing things alone, I was like, okay, let's start doing this. And I vividly remember one lunch that I got myself when I was back on campus. This is like early stages, right after COVID, everyone wore masks and some classes were hybrid, some in person, some not. So it was like a very weird time. If you were also a college student at that time, it was like just really strange because like campus was open, but it really didn't feel the same. I was a junior. I was sad that I was like missing out on my like prime college years. But anyway, that's besides the point. I took myself out to lunch. I got a lunch from the dining hall with like my points or whatever. And I remember sitting outside fully by myself in between classes, eating this sandwich that I got. And I remember feeling highly, highly uncomfortable. The eating disorder inside my head was screaming. My anxiety was screaming. My body dysmorphia was screaming. Like, there was just alarm bells going off everywhere. And I felt those things and I felt the fear and I was like, okay, I just have to do this anyway. And so I took my lunch. I found a little spot that I liked. I tried to like get myself comfortable, not away from like too many people, but not fully like isolating myself, because I wanted to challenge that thought of like, what are people going to think seeing me eat alone by myself outside? And for some reason, I think because I had wired my brain to judge myself for eating certain things alone and just eating food overall. I mean, that's what my eating disorder, that's how it influenced me and how it controlled me. I knew that it was all coming from myself. And so the only way for me to change the narrative and rewire my thoughts. And instead of judging myself for eating lunch alone outside, just accepting and knowing that it's something that's empowering me, I had to do that myself as well. So I remember that lunch very vividly, and I feel like it was just the starting point to building more confidence, building more trust, eating foods alone, eating fear foods alone, challenging myself alone. And just each time I did it, each time that I challenged myself and practiced certain things and intentionally tried to rewire my thoughts, it just got easier and easier. It was not easy at the beginning, and I definitely noticed a lot of resistance. And there were times that I backed out of plans, or I didn't do something, or I didn't eat something because I was scared. And sure, that's not ideal when you're in recovery. You want to hope to keep making steps forward. But I remember my therapist telling me one time that it's okay to pick your battles. It's okay to realize that one day asking yourself to do something may just be too much. And that doesn't mean you're not recovering right, quote unquote. That doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong. That doesn't mean you're like fake recovering or anything like that. Again, quote unquote. It just means that you're realizing that it's just a little too hard for you that day, and that's okay. You can try again the next day. It doesn't mean you'll never challenge that fear food. It doesn't mean you'll never challenge that experience. It doesn't mean you'll never be able to rewire that thought pattern. It just means that in this moment right now, it's a little too much, and that's okay. But you have tomorrow, you have the day after, you have the day after. And that really helped me a lot, because I feel like at the beginning of my recovery, I was very overwhelmed with like having to challenge and do all the things all the time, every single day. And she was like, you don't actually have to. Like, you're in recovery, you're on your own timeline, you can pick your battles. And so I did. And that has honestly really helped. And that's something I still think about today. It's still just really important to tune into my body and understand, okay, how am I feeling today? Is what I'm asking myself to do a little bit too much today? And just being okay with not doing everything that I set out to do, or not achieving the things that I put on my to-do list every single day, and just knowing that I can pick my battles, I can decide what to challenge, what to not challenge, and just take it day by day. But to get back to talking about doing things alone, I really want to chat about the power of doing things alone, and basically just talk through a few points and lessons that I've learned while going through this journey of doing things alone, so that whether you're in a similar place to me or maybe feeling less confident to do things alone, hopefully these things can just encourage you to keep moving forward and taking steps forward, no matter how big or small, without judgment, to do things alone and to build that confidence and build that self-trust to do things alone. Because these are some things that I've noticed, and I'm so grateful to have noticed, and yeah, I just want to share them with you all. First thing that I found from doing things alone is that it gives you the perfect opportunity to work on your self-talk. Personally, my self-talk is quite negative, and that's something I'm very much still working on. As much as I maybe seem externally confident in doing things and eating certain foods, the dialogue inside my brain is sometimes in a whole different world, and that's something I know that won't happen overnight. It takes time, but it takes consistency as well. So doing things alone, I found, really enables me to work on my self-talk. I think I find it really difficult when I'm surrounded by other people to notice my self-talk, and let alone change the self-talk. I feel like when I'm with people, I'm thinking about them, I'm thinking about the situation, I'm thinking about what we're doing, what we're going to be doing, that I just feel like I don't really have the mental capacity to think about like, oh, how am I actually speaking to myself? Is it kind? Is it negative? What is going on? So when I'm alone, I don't have to think about the other people around me. I don't have to think about what we're going to be doing, because it's all up to me. And so I feel like it just gives me time and space to reflect on my own thoughts and my self-talk and how I speak to myself, which has been so, so incredibly beneficial. And I just feel like I struggle to notice my self-talk in social situations when I'm around a lot of people that I know. So making intentional time to be alone gives me this really sacred and special time with myself to just listen and tune in. And I'm not saying it's always nice and enjoyable, because if my self-talk that day is really negative, that solo date or whatever I'm doing alone isn't really that enjoyable, but I know that it's helping me and helping me grow and helping me become more self-aware and helping me redefine the negative self-talk the more that I do that. Have you ever felt like your body is trying to tell you something, but you just can't figure out what? Maybe your energy crashes out of nowhere, your mood is all over the place, or no matter how well you take care of yourself, you just still feel off. I know I've been there. And for the longest time, I thought it was just stress or bad sleep, but what I've learned after being on my own hormone balancing journey this past year is that a lot of these symptoms are often tied to our hormones. This is where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz designed to help you uncover the root cause of your symptoms. After taking the quiz, you get a personalized recommendation to help get your body back in balance. When I took the quiz, one of the recommendations I got was to start taking Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is an herbal formula supplement that fine-tunes the hormonal system and is used by women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. Using only science-backed ingredients, they offer a range of products designed to help you feel like yourself again. Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your hormonal issues. For a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code PIPOD at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code PIPOD, P-I-P-O-D, for 15% off today.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
The next thing I've noticed about doing things alone and the power of doing things alone is that it helps you build confidence. Like, it just helps you build confidence doing things alone and being able to say, yeah, I did that 100% by myself. Personally, that has brought so much confidence for myself. I feel like you can get a level of confidence from people telling you, like, you look great, you're so great that you did that, I'm proud of you, but it's all external validation. And personally, I feel like in my life experience and having gone through phases of only having external validation and no internal validation to now working a lot more on my internal validation and giving less value to external validation, the internal validation confidence feels so much better. Like, it's just so much stronger and more authentic, and it feels more secure. When I was only relying on external validation from friends, boys, people around me, it was such a fleeting feeling. Like, I would feel really confident in that moment. I would feel really good. But then when I'd go home or like go to sleep or be by myself for a little bit, I would feel horrible and I would have zero confidence because there was no one around me giving me that confidence. So I've come to realize that if you want that confidence to stay consistent and, you know, always be there, you have to build it yourself. It has to come from yourself. And personally, I've found that doing things alone is the best way to build that confidence because you're not even considering any external validation because you're alone. You're with nobody else. While I'm definitely still working on my own confidence every single day, I know that building that internal validation, building that internal confidence has way more longevity to it and is way more sustainable in the long run. The third lesson I've learned about doing things alone is that, similarly to point one about being able to notice your self-talk, you can also notice just your general thoughts and get curious about why you think the way you do, what judgments maybe come up when you think about those certain thoughts. And I feel like I'm able to just really hear my internal dialogue and like the judgments that come up. Like, I can notice, okay, I have this thought, and then this second thought is coming in, judging myself for that thought. Why is that happening? And I feel like the key here is to just like get curious about, why are you judging that thought? Why does that thought even exist? And how do we want to move forward? How do we want to reframe it? Do you even need the thought? Is it helpful at all? Is it serving you in any way? Is it just an anxious thought? It was just irrational. And I feel like being alone, I'm actually like, I have the capacity in the time and the space to kind of have that sort of internal dialogue, internal conversation with myself about why I think the way I do and why it's coming up. Am I triggered? Am I feeling a certain way? But when I'm with other people in social situations, similarly to like the negative versus positive self-talk, I just feel like I can't do that at all. I feel like I'm so riled up and occupied by the people around me that I just can't even notice my thought patterns and have that sort of internal conversation with myself. But being alone has really helped me just get curious about my thoughts and help me kind of categorize like what's fact, what's a feeling, what's irrational, what's rational, what's helpful, what's not. And yeah, I am so grateful for those times that I get to do that. And being alone has given me that time. The next lesson I've learned with doing things alone is that it enables you to really get in tune with who you are authentically. And I would say this is probably one of the hardest ones because currently I'm on a journey of trying to figure out who I am authentically. What do I genuinely like versus what am I just influenced to like? And it's not an easy process, especially in the age of social media. I'm constantly seeing other people's lives, seeing what other people are doing, the other things that they're buying, the clothes that they're wearing, the places that they live. And I feel like so often I find myself feeling drawn to something, but then I have to ask myself, like, is this authentically me? And a lot of the times the answer to that is I don't know, because I'm still figuring that out. Sure, maybe like I do authentically like something that I see someone on Instagram doing as well, but maybe I don't. And I'm just doing it because I see them doing it and I see that it brings them joy. So I'm like, okay, maybe it'll bring me joy. Which again, I don't think there's anything wrong with trying things out, but it's really important personally. I think it's really important to figure out what authentically serves you and doesn't serve you. And being alone, being away from social media, just kind of being by yourself, I feel like is the best way to figure out what authentically serves you and who you are authentically. Because when you cut out all the external influences and opinions and all of that, you're just left with yourself. And so in a way, it just gives you that space to just figure out yourself and figure out who you authentically are. And I'm not saying it's easy, for sure. I'm definitely nowhere near the end of that journey, but doing things alone, spending time by myself, I've been finding is one of the best ways to work on this. The fifth lesson I've learned from doing things alone is that it helps you build your boundaries with yourself and respect your boundaries with yourself. This has been something I have never really been good at my entire life. I feel like I have disregarded my own boundaries in basically all my friendships, a lot of my past relationships, and so many situations because I just didn't have that self-trust and self-confidence and self-love, I guess, enough to honor my own boundaries and communicate my boundaries to the people around me. Doing things alone has been honestly, one of the first times that I'm able to recognize what are my boundaries actually and be able to honor them. Because if you can't honor your own boundaries, how can you ever expect other people to honor your boundaries as well? And so I feel like doing things alone has enabled me to actually recognize what are my boundaries, where do I feel like I'm pushed too far over the edge, and how can I honor that in myself first? So then I can then feel secure in knowing my own boundaries and communicate that outwardly to the other people in my life. And this has just been like so helpful. And again, still very much on the journey of it, but I feel like just even recognizing my own boundaries, I'm learning new things about myself all the time and recognizing, oh, that does not feel good. Oh, that was a lot easier than I thought. So just situations like that, when you're alone, you can really be given the time and space to take note and recognize and kind of have it process in yourself versus when you're outside and like your boundary gets crossed, sometimes there's nothing you can do about it or it happens so fast that you can't even like process that it happened, but then you're just feeling triggered and uncomfortable and your boundaries are crossed and you don't even realize that your boundaries are crossed. It can just get really messy. And I guess speaking from the I perspective, this is how my life has been. So learning to recognize and build and strengthen my boundaries for myself by myself first has been so beneficial in me being able to communicate my boundaries to the other people around me. And the sixth lesson I've learned from doing things alone is that it helps you build a stronger sense of inner trust. I feel like for me, especially after going through the worst parts of my eating disorder, I lost a lot of trust with myself and my body. I felt like I couldn't trust my brain. I couldn't trust my body and its cues. I didn't know what to rely on and what to trust on. And the only thing kind of showing its face and being like, hey, listen to me, was my eating disorder. So that's kind of how it traps you. But doing things alone and kind of taking intentional time to be alone and be reflective and be present in my thoughts has enabled me to start rebuilding a different trust outside of my eating disorder and build a trust that's authentically me. And it's just been so empowering going through certain moments and realizing like, oh, when I was trusting my eating disorder, I did it this way. But now when I trust myself, I do it completely the opposite way. And it feels so much better to do it that completely opposite way because that's what truly authentically aligns with you. Your eating disorder does not align with you ever. Yet it may try to convince you that it does. Learning to build self-trust and kind of learning to trust myself again, trust my body again, trust my body's cues and its needs has not been an easy process for sure, but the more I do it, just the better I feel. And again, going back to the confidence piece, I just feel more confident and I feel that I can take care of myself wherever I am in the world. And this has been a huge key part to solo travel. I feel like if I hadn't built up a level of self-trust, I would not be able to travel like this personally. I know that I can go somewhere new and I trust that I will eat the food that I need. I will get the things that I need. I will get the sleep that I need. And it won't be perfect all the time. No, there may be some lower moments, but overall, just having that like stronger sense of self-trust and you can trust yourself that you can get through any situation without the support of other people. There's just nothing like that at all. And this also isn't to say like, don't lean on other people, because for sure, I still call my mom when I'm upset, even though I'm in England and she's in the US. I still call my boyfriend when I need his support. I still call my friends. Like, it's so important to lean on the people that you need. And it's so important to reiterate to yourself that it's not a sign of weakness to ask for help when you need it. But at the same time, you equally need to build that level of self-trust in yourself, because what if they're not available? What if their phone died? What if they're out and about and they can't support you and you can't support yourself either? Then that's just a recipe for disaster. So I've been finding that building the self-trust, really focusing on that and using my alone time to build my self-trust has been so beneficial. And my last and final lesson of doing things alone, something I've learned and I'm reiterating to myself every single day, is that you are not placed on this earth to please the people around you. You have to please yourself first. Growing up, I built a lot of the traits of a people pleaser and I tended to hold the opinions of others on me higher than my own opinion of myself. So it's just been a very interesting and tough process at times to remind myself that the opinions others have of me should not be weighed higher than my opinion of myself. And I feel like doing things alone was really hard to start doing because I weighed others' opinions of me higher than I did of myself. Therefore, I was scared to go to a restaurant by myself because I was like, well, what if this random person next to me thinks something negatively of me? Therefore, I'm doing something wrong. But that is just not the case at all. If they have a negative thought about me, if they're judging me, then who cares? I'm still at the restaurant by myself. It shouldn't matter. I shouldn't feel any lesser about myself just because someone has a negative opinion about me. And it's also all in my head. Unless they verbally say, you're so weird, why are you eating alone? Then it's all in my head. They may not be thinking that at all, but just my anxious brain and my people-pleasing brain is like projecting that idea that this person next to me is judging me and therefore I shouldn't do this thing alone. And I just realized, like, I was just building my own trap and digging it deeper and deeper and deeper. And I realized the only way for me to start climbing out of that trap is for me to realize that other people's opinions of me are much lower, if anything, off the chart low. And my opinion of myself has to be highest and most prioritized. This is just something that I remind myself every day, honestly, whenever I'm feeling insecure or feeling like I'm projecting certain negative thoughts of how people are judging me or how they're perceiving me. I just have to remind myself, like, even if they are judging me, even if they do think I'm weird, even if they do think I'm strange, that shouldn't stop me because I like what I'm doing. I don't think I'm strange. I think it's cool what I'm doing. And that is most important and always will be most important. So I hope this serves as a reminder to you as well that you're not here on this earth to please everyone around you. You're here to enjoy your life, build a healthy and happy relationship with yourself, and become your own best friend. Take yourself on dates and speak to yourself kindly and take care of yourself and love yourself and honor what you need, honor your boundaries, all those types of things. Like, I know they're easier said than done at times, speaking from someone who has had so many struggles with these types of things, but I'm here to say that it does get better and it doesn't happen overnight. It comes with patience and time and consistency, but there is another side and there is a world where you love yourself and you have confidence and you can do things alone. If you currently don't feel like you're in a place anywhere near that right now, know that it will get better. So quickly before I wrap up this episode, I want to talk about an app that I launched with my friend in early September called Solo. If you follow me on Instagram, you probably saw my announcement reel about this, and I made an Instagram account for the app, but it very much connects to today's podcast episode topic because it's an app that you can use to log your solo dates and sort of build like a digital journal around your experiences, your thoughts, your feelings, any discomforts that come up around how you spend your time alone. And personally, I love apps like Notion and planners, and I live by my calendar app. So then I thought, why not build something specifically for solo dates to help encourage you to build that relationship with yourself, to encourage you to build confidence doing things alone? And I thought of this originally in my senior year graphic design, like capstone project for graduation. And I have always been interested in UX design as well. And so I had this idea and I built out the wireframes and I built out the design of the app and how it would look and feel and function. And then my friend at Harvard took the designs and she did computer science and she fully coded the entire thing last summer. And basically for the last year and a bit, we've been FaceTiming, meeting back and forth to build the app into what it is today. And it is available on the App Store, which is actually so wild to say that my work and, you know, the project we worked on together is available for anyone in the world. Unfortunately, not Androids right now, but anyone with an iPhone can download this app. So I hope you check it out because it's something that Victoria and I poured our whole hearts into. And I personally use it every single day. Well, not every single day, but whenever I go on a solo date, which honestly is multiple times a week. But I just love using it as kind of like a personal planner, tracker of that sense. But it goes to a level deeper and you can add photos and you can add journal prompts and you can add notes about how you feel. And you can even go into the map section of the app and save all your favorite solo date spots. You can add ratings, you can add comments to it. And so the idea, I hope, is that it's not just another social media app, but it's really an app for you to use how you need. But there is that sort of interconnected part that you can see where other people have gone, how they like the certain solo date spot. And I don't know, just hopefully you can like build a community and maybe see what other people are doing and help encourage you to do that thing alone. Or if it turns into like you realize you both like the same coffee shop because you see on the solo app that you both go there, then you can meet up and make a new friend. And so I feel like I just love the flexibility of it and how it's not, like I said, another social media app to compare yourself to. It's really for you. It has affirmations. It has solo date ideas. If you're need some ideas. There's a calendar. You can see your progress. Like, I don't know. We just really tried to think through everything that you guys would love to use and that personally I do use when I log in the app and I use the app. So I will link the download link down below if you are interested in looking at Solo. I'll also put the Instagram down below as well. But that is something I have loved producing with my friend Victoria, and she is a wizard, a coding queen. And yeah, I'm just really proud of myself and I'm so excited to share it with all of you. Let me know if you check it out, if you log your Solo dates and just have fun with it. It's supposed to be easy and not stressful and just help you kind of build confidence and build excitement around doing things alone and taking yourself on Solo dates. So with that, I will wrap up this episode. Thank you so much for listening and tuning in. I honestly loved this episode. I feel like it was even nice for me now that I'm actively on a solo trip. I'm traveling right now just to remind myself of all the like wonderful things that I've come to learn and experience and I'm still working on in this journey and in this part of my life. So it was wonderful to share that with all of you. As always, let me know what you think. Feel free to give the show a star rating, write a review if you feel called to. And as always, you can find me on Instagram at jenny.mini, and you can find the podcast Instagram at perfectlyimperfect.pod. I also have a TikTok for both myself and the podcast as well. And if you're listening to this episode, if you want a visual, you can go watch it on YouTube, and vice versa. If you're watching on YouTube, you can also find me on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. So thank you so much for being here, sending so much love as always, and I'll catch you in the next episode.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.